Well, we are going to continue today to look at the book of Psalms. You remember last week we started with Psalm number 1. And we talked about how the Psalms were the prayer book, not only of the ancient Israelite people, but also for the church for some thousands of years now. And perhaps they will say something important to us as we continue to look at and study these Psalms. The Psalm we're going to look at today is Psalm number 24. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and who do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let's pray together. We are so thankful, gracious God, for the opportunity once again to gather together as a community of faith to worship you. We thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through this gathering thus far, and we pray that your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear Lord, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might be more than just information. But we pray, Lord, as we hear, as we digest the words that you have for us, as we take them into our hearts, that your words might transform us from the inside out, and that we might leave this place today ready to go out and share your love with all that we will meet in the coming week. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we've offered this prayer, saying, Amen. I need you to do something for me this morning. We're going to have a little bit of an interactive moment. I need you all, as you're able, to stand up. I love you. Now I need you to close your eyes and keep them closed until I tell you. Very important. Eyes closed. Now what I want you to do is I want you to take your arm, and I want you to be very careful of the people around you. And keeping your eyes closed, I want you to point west. I want you to point west. Whatever direction you think, point west. Okay? Everybody got their arms up? Point west? Okay. Open your eyes. You can sit down now. Because I just happen to have my handy-dandy compass with me, which tells me which direction is north, that is west, according to the compass. So I hope you got it right. But if you didn't, it just kind of shows you how important it is to have something to get your bearings with. Psalm 24 is an interesting psalm. It is a psalm that is known. It's in the category. We talked a little bit last week about the categories of the different psalms. This one is in the category of a temple entrance liturgy. Okay, there's about six or eight more psalms that fit into this category of the temple entry liturgy. And what that means is you all might notice that each and every Sunday we have a call to worship. Typically, our call to worships come to us from the psalms. And what this was, this psalm was a call and response back and forth as people got ready to process into the temple for worship. As a matter of fact, if you paid attention to what I was reading from Psalm 24, you'll notice that there is some call and response, some questions and answers going on in this psalm. It starts with verse 3, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place?" The response, "Those that have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully." Okay, so you see it's kind of a call and response. So in case you ever wondered where our calls to worship come from, why we do that, well, this has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. The fascinating thing about this psalm, I don't know how many of you remember your movies, but perhaps you saw the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, came back out a long time ago, Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, that was the first time that I ever heard anything about the Ark of the Covenant. And there was some historical basis for what was in Raiders of the Lost Ark. There actually was an ark that carried pieces, the broken pieces that Moses broke when he got angry, of the Ten Commandments. But there is some thought among scholars that this liturgy was written when David took the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Now, I'm not going to read it for you, but if you want to do some further reading, for those of you who are into this, you might want to read 2 Samuel chapter 6 that describes David taking the ark back to Jerusalem. So there is some thought among scholars that what's going on here is that they're standing outside with the ark and there's this call and response going on as they get ready to bring the ark into the temple. What fascinates me about this psalm is it starts out at the very beginning saying this: "The earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it, the world, everybody who lives in it, for God founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." And the first thing that happens in this psalm is, who does the earth belong to? It belongs to the Lord. Okay, this is the first thing that happens. There's a call and response that I read to you a minute ago about who can ascend to the hill of the Lord, going up to the temple, who can stand in his holy place. And then there's this response: "They will receive blessing from the Lord, those that have clean hands and pure hearts. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob." Now imagine when we get to verse 7 that you're standing outside the temple and it's got these huge doors that are closed. And the people that are standing outside say, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." On the inside, the response is, "Who is the King of glory?" And the people say, "The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." And again, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be ye lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." And once again, who is the King of glory? Well, the psalm ends just as it begins by declaring the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And you see, the whole thing that this psalm is trying to get us to understand, was trying to get them to understand, the people that recited it, was that you have got to start. You got to start with who is in charge, who you're going to give glory to, and who everything belongs to, okay? Now, in our world, sometimes we go, who do we pledge allegiance to? Who do we give glory to? Who do we follow? Who is really in charge of our lives and of the world? And the great thing about Psalm 24 is it reminds us from the beginning, it's the Lord. The earth belongs to him. The people of the earth belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. God created it. It belongs to God. And I think one of the things that this psalm reminds us that we have to ask ourselves is, who is the King of glory? Who is the Lord of our life? Who are we going to follow? Who is in charge of our lives? Because you see, sometimes when we don't know who's in charge, when we don't know who we're following, when we don't pay attention to God and we don't recognize that the earth belongs to the Lord, if we don't realize who the King of Glory is, then we might be following something that could lead us in the wrong direction. Just as when I ask you all to stand up, close your eyes, and point west. Now you see where I was going with that, right? It's very, very important that you have in your life something to center you and to tell you what direction you need to go. Now, when I was a Boy Scout, I spent many a camp out with a compass and a map. I remember one time I went to a camporee. And it was just a wilderness thing where we didn't pack in food. We didn't really pack in anything. We were supposed to kind of get everything ourselves. And they gave us a map, and we had a compass, and they dropped us off at the edge of this big field and said, here's the notes on your map. Find your way. Find your way to your campground. Well, when you're hungry because you don't have any food and it's dark and there's mosquitoes biting you and you've got a flashlight and you're looking at a dumb compass and going, and finally the only way you find your way to the campsite is because one of the other scoutmasters who has got his troop close to you knew what he was doing, and you end up following them to get there, you go, wow, wow. And you say, well, you know, maybe it was not that helpful, but we're all following something. We might be following our own whims, our own desires. We might be, as the old poem says, the master of our fate, the captain of our souls. We might believe that. We might be following other people. You know, the advertising industry is based on this whole idea that somehow you and I might look at other people and what they have that we don't and go, I want that too. Might be called keeping up with the Joneses or the Pottses, right? But Psalm 24 reminds us of what it is that you and I are called to follow. And we're called to follow God. If God is truly the King of glory, if Jesus is the Lord of our life, if that's what we say as disciples, then we need to make sure we're going in the right direction. Amen? We need to make sure we're going in the right direction. And the one thing about the King of glory that we're trying to follow is his compass always points north, and you can never, ever, ever go wrong by following him. Ever. Ever. And you can follow other people, you can follow your whims, you can follow different philosophies, but the only way that leads us to where we need to go is when the King of Glory is our compass and we follow him and we check in every now and then to make sure that we know which way he's going. So brothers and sisters, really, as we think about Psalm 24, it is really a great reminder to all of us, who is the King of glory in our lives? To whom do we give glory? The Hebrew word for glory is kaphod, kaphod. And a lot of times in the Old Testament, that word is used to designate God's presence. Probably what we might say is the Holy Spirit, the glory, the glory. And there are lots of things in our lives that we could give glory to. There are lots of things that we could honor, that we could follow, that might lead us in the wrong direction. But what this psalm really wants to tell us is that if you're not following the King of Glory, what are you trying to do, really? If you're not following the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, if you don't have God as your compass to keep your path straight, to keep you going in the right direction, maybe that's why you feel like I did years and years ago, tramping about in a field with a compass and a map and not really knowing what to do or where to go. Because it's very, very important for us to understand who is the Lord of our life, who is our King, and are we going to follow? Are we going to go in that direction? And just to make sure that we all get the point of the psalm, I want to reread to you the last three verses. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. You know, sometimes I think that we don't have enough sense in our culture and in our faith of the real glory and might of God. And the ancient Israelites, they did. They understood. They understood, we might say, which side their bread was buttered on. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. And I think, brothers and sisters, as we think about this particular psalm, as we think about the temple entry, and perhaps that they were doing this as they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, I hope you get a sense of the might, the awesomeness, the glory that they must have felt, because they knew when they went into the temple that they were going in there to honor the King of Glory. They were going to honor the Lord of Hosts. They were going in to honor God. And may you and I, as we seek to be disciples of Jesus, as we seek to follow the Lord, may we too get a sense of the honor, of the glory, of the mighty, awesome power of God, and make sure that we understand who the King of Glory is, because it's critical for us to be on the right path. And if we feel confused, if we feel lost, if we feel like we've lost our sense of where God is and what God's doing, we might just need to pull out our own compass and go, okay, which way is the King of Glory going? And how do I get in line to follow him? Amen.